Jeffrey Siss Show on American Liberty Live. And it is Friday, the 15th of August, 2014. Very excited to be with you tonight. Hope everybody had an awesome day. Certainly been a busy week. It's nice to put a cap on it and head into the weekend. And we have a great guest for you tonight. We have Tom Gamble to talk with us about a number of things, and we'll get him on here in just a minute. But at any rate, a lot of good, exciting things going on. I want to make an announcement, and I'll put a link to this in the social stream here in a minute, but we actually, the song Let Freedom Ring Across America that I've been telling you guys I was going to put it out as a single, it was released this morning on iTunes, and I have to go on the record here and say that the first person that bought it was our very own listener that goes by the name of Uncertain Heisenberg. He bought it about 5:11 this morning, and he got it first. He's the one that actually found that it was already on sale, and it will show up over the next week or two or three on all the electronic media sites, you know, such as Amazon, you know, any of the places you normally buy your digital music. It's been submitted to all of those stores, but it takes a lot of them a little bit longer to get it up and running. But anyway, the purpose of putting out this song is to support this show. So I'll get on Skype here in a minute, and we will give you guys the link, and then you can get it out there. So hang on just a second. I'll be right back with you. I got to take care of a little business, and we'll be right back on the air. That, folks, I'm broadcasting from a remote location today, and Simon decided he was going to make some racket. Those of you that watch the show all the time know Simon. So he thought he would make his voice heard, so I just thought I would handle that and nip it in the bud. Anyway, so let's get over to Skype. I want to get this link for you guys right quick, so let's do that. And I had this up here, and it looks like I've lost it, so I'm going to just go to iTunes.apple.com. We're going to put in the link. Actually, we're going to search. You know what? It's been stubborn, so hang on a minute here. All right, here we go. No, I've got it here. I just want to get this out before we get into talking to our guest tonight, because I'd like you guys to help spread the word about this single, because it is going to help us.
We're back with John Boyd. And John.
All right, that is John Boyd. That's not the one we need. All right, here we go. Let Freedom Ring Across America. And I'm going to the social stream here, and I'm going to post this for all you guys. Here we go. All right, so here's the link to the song on iTunes, and I see Uncertain already beat me to it. I wish I knew you had that handy, buddy. I wouldn't have spent all that time looking for it, but I appreciate you doing it. And by the way, the reception.
Testing. Shortly going to go live. Stand by. Testing.
The VA is failing our veterans. Secret lists, long waits, preventable deaths. Kay Hagan campaigned on improving the VA.
We have got to do a better job of supporting our veterans.
Hello?
All right, is this...
She knew about problems, yes. And under her watch,
hey,
things
Tom.
Got
Hello.
Worse.
Just
now
two
our
here.
VA
Let
facilities
me,
are some of the worst.
I got a commercial in my ear from my team. Hold on a second.
Okay.
There we go. As far as that. All right, so how are you doing this evening? We are live on the air.
Well, hi. Yes, Jeffrey. Okay, thank you. I'm doing fine this evening. Appreciate it. And I appreciate you bringing me on the show. Thank you.
Well, we're just glad to have you on, and... you know, I know you are widely studied in a variety of topics. And I tell you what, I'm going to stall here for a minute, Tom. For some reason, we have been knocked off the air here. So hang on just a minute. This has been happening a little bit here in the last week. Kathy tells me it's because of our message.
It's possible. Very possible.
Yeah. So just bear with me a second. I'm going to get that adjusted here. I have a backup router I can go to. I'm very surprised when it happens. It's just shocking because I have a great. Well, we're just going to have to bear with it a minute. Very, very interesting. Our internet connection here. You know, for me to have any kind of problem with connecting to Ustream is just ludicrous. And it's just started happening here just recently. And I've got three routers here, so I actually have three choices to be on here. All right, we're just going to have to bear with us a second. Because has this ever happened to you when you go on shows?
I do wave panel, and only a couple occasions it has, yes. Not often, but it does happen.
Because I know there's been a couple of guests that are frequently whistleblowing and telling the truth. They've been on here recently, and this happened. And it always happens right when the show starts.
Yep. Well, that's it then.
So let's just bear with it here a second. We'll get it back. They can't keep us offline forever. Let me type it. We have a social stream that's running during the show here, so let me tell everybody we were knocked off there. That's really, really something. Okay. It doesn't happen this time, and it's not. You know what? It's showing me I've got 100% of the bandwidth. So this is at the Ustream, you know. This is that thing, that weird thing that happens where it's not my internet connection. It's something going on where somebody's disturbing our ability to connect to Ustream. Isn't that interesting?
Yep, that would be it.
Yep, I have no problem with any internet browsing. Everything's running great. It's 5x5. Wow. Well, you must have a lot of good stuff to tell us tonight, Tom. Yeah, I'm going to pull Kathy in so she can have what's going on, too.
Is your chat working tonight? Is it... there's Kathy. Yeah, I see.
Yeah. Hey, Kathy. Oh, she must be muted. Well, guess what's going on?
What?
We are, my internet speed and connection is 100%. It's great, but it's not letting me connect to Ustream. So I told Tom, some of us really didn't want him to talk too bad. I must have some really good stuff to tell us.
This happens to him a lot, doesn't it?
It just seems to happen to us only when we have somebody on that they really don't want on the air. So.
Well, connect back in?
No, and my, you know, obviously I'm talking to you on Skype. The internet browser's running. I just checked my download speed, everything, and upload. It's all 100%. I have plenty of bandwidth available, and it will not connect to Ustream.
Oh, Tom, what did you do?
I don't know. I had a...
There you go, Tom. At least I'll transmit some video so I can entertain you guys while we're sitting here. There you go.
It just seems to happen to me, and that's, no, I'm not the only one.
There we go. There, at least you can see me.
Oh, there you are.
So I'm going to just continue to hit the stream button here and just see what happens. It's just unbelievable.
Can
just...
you notify Stream Live and see what they say?
Who, you mean contact Ustream?
Yeah, the help thing they always tell us to go for here in the chat room.
I'm sure I could. Just give me a minute here.
Or better yet, have...
I'm going to close it.
One of the smart ones in that chat room do it.
Yeah. I'm going to restart Ustream Producer just for the heck of it.
What I did is I closed it all out, and then I came back in, and I at least didn't draw a blank screen anymore, and now I have a song.
Yeah. All right, so I just logged back in, and let's see if it lets us stream now. Because I just restarted it all. I figured, you know, hey, what have we got to lose? No, that's not letting us on. You know, this is really just crazy. And like I said, I have full 5 bars on the bandwidth. And, you know, I have a crazy internet connection here because of my company. So I have just amazing bandwidth.
You need to contact the help person. They were in here. Where'd they go?
Who, Ustream?
No, Ustream help, yeah.
I'm going to
interesting.
It is very interesting. I mean, this has only happened a couple of times over the last 3 or 4 months, and it's only been, you know, at the very beginning of the show, and it's when we've had certain people on. That is just crazy, but it's just sitting there. It's blinking at me.
Well, I'm playing the music.
Well, yeah, that's off the server up there. It recorded a little clip. You know, it recorded my intro music. I told the folks, hello, good evening. And I was just getting ready to bring Tom on. And just as I said I was going to bring him on, it...
Yeah, but what I did is I went completely out and I came back in and now the music is playing, but it says off air.
Yeah, it's recorded. Yeah, that was the intro I did 10 minutes ago. I'm telling you, it quit working the minute I said I was connecting up with Tom and bringing him on the air.
Tom, look what you did.
I know, I can't help it.
Can we change your name for the shows next time?
Yeah. Oh.
Listen, tonight we're having Fred Flintstone on the air.
Wilma! Hey, Wilma! Gotta go get Barney. He's outside.
That's right. I mean, this is just truly astounding.
That is what we should do. When we know we got somebody like this coming, we should give him a name.
Yeah, Deep Dark Whistleblower. That's what we'll call him.
Oh, no, then they take it off for sure.
Right.
We could put Whistleblower is Illegal.
Right. Yeah.
We love the NSA. That's what we'll call them.
There you go.
Well, they flat took it down tonight. I know this is what's going on. There's no other explanation for it. Just being a computer guy, and, you know, Tom, I program stuff. So, I mean, when I see something like this going on and see my internet connection's 100% and all that, I know that there's monkey business going on. And other people have their streams going. I mean, I'm sure if we go look at somebody else, I'm sure everybody else is on there except us.
Well, I'm not on their good list, I'll tell you that right now.
Okay, I think we just established. All right, so the mics are muted, but let me go live to air here. All right, folks, this is Jeffrey Sisk, and you're watching, hopefully now watching the Jeffrey Sisk Show here on American Liberty Live. And... once again, we had that odd little problem that happens every now and then to us where we get blown off the air. and we had 100% green meters on the internet connection, and it just would not connect with Ustream. We would talk on Skype, the internet, whatever else we wanted, but you know, it was not letting us get on the air. Have no idea what makes that happen, folks, every blue moon, but it's very odd. But anyway, so now that we're back on the air.
Now, what did we say his name was?
Yeah, we decided we'll call our guest tonight Fred Flintstone that we're having on the air instead of saying his real name, you know, just in case the three-letter guys out there wanted to keep him from being on the air. But anyway, just for the three-letter guys, if they're listening, we have Tom Gimbel on the line. And it's nice to have you on with us, sir, and thank you, and appreciate you being patient here while we worked out our technical difficulties.
I've had it myself in my show in my past 5 years, so I understand very well.
Yep. It's a very odd thing when that happens. So what I wanted to do, you know, for anybody out there that's not familiar with you or any of the research and work that you've done, I'd just kind of like for you to kind of start back a little bit at the beginning, kind of walk us through where you've been in your life and what's brought you to where you are today, and then we can get into some of the things that you're looking at these days.
Okay, well, thank you. I just my background. I started off as a Marine Corps officer in 1970s to late 80s, and when I got out of the Marine Corps, I was an infantry officer. I got out of the Marine Corps, I went into government contracting. I was in Washington, D.C. when I started off, and that put me in places like Kuwait, Saudi Arabia. I was there 3.5 years, Kuwait for a short time, starting the contract there when the military pulled out of Kuwait in around 94. And so I established the civilian contracting there, armed security for Camp Doha in Kuwait, and I established that program. And then a year later, we had an attack in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, against our military advisors in November 13th, 1996. And so I guess right place, right time, they asked me to go over as a defense contractor, as a contractor, to be the operations officer for the contract establishing security for the Opium Sang that was advisors to the Saudi Arabian National Guard. So we brought a contingent of retired military and police officers and so forth, set up a contract there, and I was there for 3.5 years. And that's when Bin Laden's name first came up and so forth. We thought it was going to be a high-stress area, but things just kind of slacked up. And so in 3.5 years, we didn't have any more attacks necessarily, except Dammam. That was out of my region. But anyway, not much going on there after that period of time, really. So I got a little bored. So I put in for Kosovo. I knew there was some fighting going over there, so I decided to go to Kosovo, and I was accepted as a security manager in the eastern region of Kosovo with the OSCE, a UN organization. So I was there for 5 years, and that's when I started becoming introduced to the New World Order. And while we were over there, so I became very familiar with how we're working with Al-Qaeda, allowing them to run free in Kosovo, how we worked with Albanian Mafia, and all kinds of things. I had no idea why we were doing it. So,
and was it things that were unique to the area that you were in that made you start noticing things that were going on about New World Order? Or did this just happen to be when you started researching some of these things?
Well, I didn't really know about the New World Order as I know now then. It was just why is our government and the military allowing Al-Qaeda and organizations linked up to it, like Al-Haramain.
Gotcha.
Yeah, right, and RHIS, right. Why they here? And then I'm going to functions that have Albanian Mafia members there that were with the State Department personnel. So I'll say, what's going on? But I'm working for the UN, OSCE,
right.
Okay? So I'm
right.
All right. So, and I had the entire eastern region under my control as a security manager for 5 regions within the eastern region. And 5 regional offices I was responsible for, and with a security force as well. And so I just started my own little investigation and SIP map and so forth, and maintained certain shadowy connections, you might say, to keep myself apprised of the situation. we'll kind of talk about. And so that's when I started finding out that the UN are troublemakers. The UN causes, they cause
a lot
conflict.
Of the problems, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Under the guise of bringing peace. Well, they don't. That's not the, they're not there for that reason. And so I started sending letters out, and I was sending out emails, and I was raising Cain in all the meetings with Camp Bondsteel and the UN and so forth. And I was quite vocal, so my seven-year contract ended up being five.
So, right.
So, yeah, so when I left, I went public in 2005, and a book came out. I didn't write the book. I don't get anything for the book. But a book came out in two chapters of the whole book. The two chapters are dedicated to my experiences there. And I pretty much let everything out of the bag, you know.
Right.
Everything.
So you knew the author, and they kind of let you let the cat out of the bag in a couple of chapters.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Because I talked to him all through the years before that. You know, he knew me, and I'd give him everything I had. I didn't hold anything back. I had no secrets, none.
Right.
And I did have some shadowy connections with a couple of the KLA leaders and Russian intelligence and Italian Carabinieri that would share information with me that they knew they couldn't do it, but I would. And so I became a whistleblower, I guess. And then the next trip, about a year or 2 years later, under the radar somehow or another, I was asked to be a project manager for a State Department project in Kisangani in the Congo. It wasn't connected to my previous experience, so they really didn't have me on the radar screen. So
right.
I was a project manager for intelligence project with the State Department, and MPRI was working with me. I was working for another contractor, MPRI. And I found that to be ironic because I knew about their activities in Kosovo. So I'm working both sides, the terrorist side and the Macedonian side. They work both at the same time. You see.
Right.
Yeah. And so when I was in the Congo, though, that's when I started learning about the New World Order. Because everything just kind of came together. And that's when I started learning about the Illuminati and about the Jesuits and about the agenda. And I'm like, whoa, I don't believe this. You know, this is unbelievable. So I went through the six stages and found out that, you know, all along I've been in the shadows of the agenda all along.
Right.
And, well, from then on, when I left Congo, I think it was about a year later, I started becoming guest on shows, R.J. Hinder. And then before I knew it, I had my own network. I mean, my own radio show.
So what I'm hearing, Tom, is you were kind of unknown to you. You were really kind of part of this whole thing in whatever areas you were working in and just didn't realize it at the time.
I had no clue.
Yeah.
No clue whatsoever. I just knew some shady things was going on. And as each contract that went on, none of them were connected, actually. It was all separate opportunities.
Right.
Wasn't
right.
connected one to the other. And I started seeing a picture going on. So by the time I'm in the Congo, I said, wait a minute. You know, and so I started learning about the actual connections. And that became my basis. And
now,
actually,
did some of your information about things come from foreign intelligence that actually led you to believe, or is it all things you saw in your
Well, life? In Kosovo, kinda. But Kosovo was the intelligence I got from there was finding out where the rebel locations were. I kept it hidden on a SIP map I kept putting in the closet.
Right.
I said I wasn't supposed to be doing all that stuff.
Right.
You know, and so, but I kept my own SIP map. I had connections with Mohammed Jamali. And he was assassinated about 2 years I left.
Right.
And so the UN would, lower-level security officers would sneak me reports. Lower-level lieutenants and captains would sneak me reports. And UN officers, police officers would sneak me reports. And then I would bring it up in meetings, which I didn't really care.
Right.
And so that's what made my tour a little short. But so when I got back to CONUS, that began my effort to try to tell people what was going on, and then the book came out, and, well, you know, here I am. So I learned about how it's operating. I know how it works now. So that's where we are tonight. Go ahead.
So you gathered this information over time, and probably were in a better position than a lot of other people to put some of these pieces together because you were more kind of on the inside. So when you got to that point, what do you see, you know, this going on today that are the biggest threats to our way of life?
Well, first, let me sort of tell you how this thing is really set up. What's really going on today is that there is actually a worldwide conspiracy that's literally orchestrated by pretty much a tribe of genetically related individuals. And these people are the very wealthy, politically powerful, and actually the corporate elite of this world. It's what's really happening. And they're called the Black Nobility of Europe. And their goal is to create a one-world government. And what they have planned on doing over long periods of time is their eventual evolution is to strip off the nationalistic and regional boundaries of every country in the world and divide it up into 10 regions. Now, who am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about those like Queen Elizabeth. I'm talking about the Vatican. I'm talking about the Jesuits. But primarily, their working soldiers, their foot soldiers, are the secret societies.
Yeah.
Like the Black Nobility, like the Knights of Malta.
Right.
Low-level Freemasons. They're the foot soldiers. Some of them don't even know who they're working for.
Right. I've had that conversation with some people that are Masons down on the on the level down here, and they don't know of anything about the stuff that's going on up the food chain. So I think you're right. I think there's probably a lack of knowledge at the foot soldier level. They don't realize what they're a lot of those guys probably don't realize what they're doing.
Their goal is to create this one world government, but their intention is actually to effect complete control over every human being on the planet and reduce the world's population, not increase it, but reduce it on the long term until that day can come that they will take over the world in one day.
Right.
You see, that's their plan, and they're just about there. They manifest their agenda through manipulating human emotions, fear, anguish, and they have what's called a Hegelian dialectic. They use this extensively, where they present the problem, they have the solution, and they'll get a reaction. So it's really problem, reaction, then they have the solution.
Right.
You see,
and it's all to contrive and lead us like sheep into a certain direction. And we see a lot of that. There's a lot of the propaganda that comes out through our mainstream media. Where they're either distracting us, or they're leading us over here, or they're staging this to make us feel this way. I mean, if you're paying attention, you can see this stuff happen,
That's right.
So,
taking Kosovo into mind, they, for example, create the problem by funding, assembling, training the opposition. So, Al-Qaeda, for example, that really is a fictitious alternate enemy, I know that they came out of Afghanistan. But I also know that we funded them all through against the Soviets.
Yes.
All right.
And that's widely known. I mean, that information is out there for anybody that wants to know it. We funded them back then against Russia, against the Soviet Union, I should say.
And then when that finished, here comes the tricky part. I know that the CIA, Iranian intelligence, Saudi intelligence, Pakistani intelligence, and the Turkish intelligence, all working together with different assignments, they moved 10,000 Mujahideen from Afghanistan into Bosnia.
Right.
And began that jihad there. We helped them. They all worked together. And that's how they do it. And so, for example, Saddam Hussein was a Freemason. Milosevic was trained in the State Department before he became president. Gaddafi, they all worked for us.
Right.
And we're controlled by the Vatican and the Jesuits. And they're controlled by the Illuminati, which have two groups on the inside and outside. There's 26 families of Illuminati, 13 on the outside that they want you to know about, and 13 on the inside that they want to keep kind of put away. And they have names, locations. You know, I mean, you're outside Illuminati, Rothschilds, Astor, Bundy, Collins, DuPont, Freeman, Kennedys, the Lee family in China, Onassis in Greece, Rockefellers in New York, Disney, which is an interconnected one, Russell family, Jane Russell, right? Van Duen up in Norway, Norwegian, Merovingian bloodline, which is Queen Elizabeth and all the bloodline there, and the Reynolds family.
And I've seen this matrix, and I know for sure you've seen it, and probably, you know, better than half of our viewers have probably seen it. There's a matrix that shows all the corporations in the world and how they're connected to those families. And it's like 80% of the major corporations in the world that all trace back to these people. So this isn't some kind of fictitious thing. I mean, people have done the hard work to do the research to make all the connections. And have you seen that matrix that I'm talking about, Tom? It's really impressive.
I've got like five of them. I got that one plus many others. So I don't just take one source. But that's the families they want you to know about.
Right.
But the families that don't want you to know about on the long scale is the familia, Pamphilia, which are Italian, Este family, the Farnese family, Aldo Brandini, Orsini, which controls the Popery. They control Rome, Orsini. The Breakspeare family with China, Medici, the Borgia, which is the Jesuits, there's some Gallia, Conti, Chagi, Colonna, and Gaetana. That's all Italian. They're not Jews. They're Italian.
Right.
And that's not talking about the houses. So, and they're organized in what's called the Committee of the 300, Committee of the 500, Council of the 33, Council of the 13. It just goes and goes and goes.
Right.
What I found was really, I guess, perplexing at one time. We've always been taught, you know, that the CIA is against the KGB and Cold War. That's the biggest bunch of nonsense ever was.
Right.
Because in their organization, the CIA, FBI, NSA, KGB, the Mossad, the BND in Germany, the DGSC in France, British intelligence, the Communist Party hierarchy, Interpol and Europol, the drug cartels and their criminal leaders, mafia organized crime, FEMA, Secret Service, they all work together.
Yeah.
Every single one of them work together.
And you think about it, too, they control all of the world's flow of information, right?
Every bit. That's correct.
Right.
And they have it all divided up, actually, in banking and money group worldwide, secret society groups, like a ton of secret societies. You have your education. Worldwide education is controlled by them.
Right.
The intelligence. The religious groups, every religion, and every political group you can name on the highest level is under one organization.
And a lot of that control, I imagine, is acquired by just plain out buying people off, right? Or threatening them. It'd be one of the two. It'd be either you're going to meet somebody's price or you're going to be threatening them or their family to get what you want out of them.
Oh, it's all the, well, it's all the above.
Yeah.
Actually, they get material rewards. They get notoriety. They get all kinds of positions, and they get they believe that they're going to ascend into the next level of human evolution, and it just goes on and on. But these leaders, whether anybody in your audience believes in Satan or Lucifer or whatever, doesn't matter, because they do.
Right.
And we're talking everywhere from Clinton to Buchanan to Queen Elizabeth. We're talking the highest level here.
Well, you know, there's, you know, certainly I'm a Christian, and a lot of people that watch our show are Christians, you know, good patriotic American Christian people. And, you know, I don't think there's any dispute with anybody out there that is, that there is evil in the world, you know, and that there is a devil. He does exist. You know, Lucifer does exist. And, you know, it's all through the Bible. There's plenty of evidence there that he exists. And anybody who thinks that there isn't this masterful, you know, bad being out there that's trying to subvert mankind, they're just not paying attention, you know. So, you know, definitely, you know, I agree with you, and I know but a lot of our people out here listening to us tonight agree that there's a devil out there doing his work every day.
Well, specifically, his work is excruciatingly organized. That's the catchy part. And you have what's called the Round Table. The Round Table is a think tank that provides the studies, the action, information, everything to the Committee of the 300, the hybrid Illuminati families.
Right.
All right. Well, the Round Table consists of representatives from the Council on Foreign Relations, that's the U.S. Illuminati.
Right.
The Trilateral Commission, the United Nations, the Bilderberg Group, the Club of Rome, and the Royal Institute of International Affairs, which is the sister to the Council of Foreign Relations in London. And those six, plus throw in the Gorbachev Foundation, they have their own meetings before they get to the round table. And I can tell you what they discuss. Because to simplify it, they have a summary. I'll give you a summary of a five-step program that they're using designed to change the world. And I can simplify it for you.
All right.
Step number one, their goal is to demolish, destroy the very foundations of biblical morality.
They've been doing a darn good job of that for a number of decades.
And you can see it, and they have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it.
Now, why is that? You know, I've heard that a lot over the last few years, you know, as I've studied some of the stuff out, and I've heard that. So why is that?
Well, there's several reasons why. One, they tell you because of arrogance. They tell you because it helps manipulate the public when they just give you just information, just enough.
Right.
But God requires it. See, the supernatural is at work here. This is not by human beings. There's no way possible that human beings have the dimensional capacity to come up with a plan that goes on for generations upon generations, carried from one family to the next, that's worked out perfectly, with one exception, that's not accumulated into a one world order so far. But
right.
They've achieved everything that they've set out to do. They just learn each step. They're not allowed to go the next step. But they tell you what they're going to do for that supernatural reason. They also tell you what they're going to do because it gives them that kind of in-your-face. But they do it in such a way that it's in cartoons, it's in TV, it's in novels,
right.
It's on the
right.
News, it's on the theaters. And sometimes they just come right out and tell you with controlled opposition.
Right.
And that's part of the reasons why they tell you what they're going to do before they do it.
So one number one of the five was to get rid of the morality, Christianity in America,
yeah,
or in the world.
Right. Now, this also follows the Humanist Manifesto 1 and 2. So, keeping that in mind, this is how they base the steps upon that criteria. So, demolish the foundations of biblical morality. So that means that they would have the other organizations like the NAACP, ACLU, ADL, all these, to then say, well, we're going to put a lawsuit against Oklahoma to have them take down the Ten Commandments.
Right.
This has played out in our lives.
And see, our founding fathers told us that for America to work, for the Constitution to work, that we needed to have a just and moral society. And as we've seen this erosion, right, of morality, so to speak, which they've been very effective at over, especially the last three decades, they've been just expert with it. That's where we've seen an erosion of our Constitution, right? I mean, we see it.
Yeah, the Constitution was rendered null and void in 1938 about Tompkins versus Erie Railroad. And the Constitution was designed to follow God's principles, but never
right.
intended to be carried out. The Constitution, or the Declaration of Independence, was brought to us by the Jesuits. It was followed, they did. It has to do with a revolution versus signed petition to change the laws. You see, you have to have chaos to bring order.
Right.
This is what they did.
Well, and they're following that today. I mean,
oh, yeah.
That's the whole thing. That's the That's to overload the system until it collapses and then replace it with what you want.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so number one was demolish the foundations of biblical morality and piece by piece to erode it away and change the generations so they would less and less be more prone to follow the Bible. Number two, to dismantle. Each one of these steps has an objective to it, although it's number two. Dismantle the family. Dismantle patriotism and individual liberty.
And they've been very effective in those areas. We can see that today. You know, clearly around us, there's a lot of that. Right?
Yeah. Vladimir Lenin was a good student of Adam Weishaupt. Adam Weishaupt is the one, a Jesuit priest, was the one that came up with this plan that was finished May the 1st, 1776. That's when it was put into plan. That's what the Declaration of Independence, that's what the firing at Concord was all about. All this was part of that plan. And so they needed to have patriotism. They needed to have the family together. They needed to have individual thinking up to 1945. But before 1945, it had to be the nuclear family. But after 1945 began the takedown of America.
And, you know, that's around the time that Bretton Woods happened and our banking systems got set up. I guess maybe that was all coordinated.
Every bit of it was coordinated, Bretton Woods especially. That's exactly correct. So now dismantling the family began after 1945. That's where feminism took hold. Feminism was controlled and funded by the Rockefellers to take down the family.
Right.
Vladimir Lenin, a student of humanism and Adam Weishaupt, said to destroy the country, you have to destroy the family. It's crucial, and they've been at it ever since 1945.
Right, and we had one of our viewers on the air one night. He studied a lot of this stuff out, and we went through the Communist Manifesto, you know, that was entered into the Congressional Record back in the 60s. And, you know, when you go through that list, Tom, you can clearly see that all of those things have been implemented in America.
That's right. That's right. You nailed it.
Yeah.
Dismantle the family by same-sex marriage, by feminism, by the homestead law. Ruth Bader Ginsburg had a lot to do with that. I mean, just a laundry list of ways to destroy the family.
Right.
And then dismantle patriotism.
Right.
That began when they had the two planned losses of Korea and Vietnam. They were pre-planned to lose. I got evidence from MacArthur.
And, you know, I'm living evidence. I'm 50 years old. I'll be 51 later this year. But, you know, we had prayer in school in the morning and the Pledge of Allegiance and all those things coming along in the 60s and early 70s. And that's right when you're just saying that this shift happened, that they started taking these things away. And, you know, none of our kids have gotten any of this in school today. You know, it's all been ripped away. And probably I was one of the last generations that actually had those things in school, you know.
Well, the attack on the baby boomers was the first initiative, and that's why they put the cancer cells in the polio vaccines, as confirmed by the CDC in 1952-53. 30 million Americans had cancer cells put in the polio vaccine to start off with.
Wow, that's pretty insidious right there.
Well, it was. Well, it gets worse because they started, you had the aluminum pots and pans.
Yeah.
There's a purpose for that because aluminum ingested into the system is the cause of dementia and Alzheimer's.
Right.
See, all this was planned. It sounds like out of whack, but it's not. It's exactly what happened. I have it documented.
Well, we know a lot of the spraying that's gone on in the last 10, 15, 20 years that, you know, aluminum has been one of the chemicals included.
That's right. Aluminum oxide.
Yeah, aluminum oxide.
So patriotism started becoming diminished in 1960. That's when they funded the anti-war demonstrations and the anti-military on the campuses. All that was designed to start the conflict of patriotism.
Right.
And this is how they do it. Tavistock is a think tank that set up our 1960s revolution. Tavistock in England.
Right.
A massive cultural changing think tank. And then to dismantle individual liberty. Oh, they've been at it since the Civil War. But when Lincoln who wasn't a Freemason, went rogue on them, and he actually named the Jesuits as the cause of our Civil War.
Right.
You know, and so JFK, of course, he also was not a Freemason. But to dismantle individual liberty also began around 1945, 1950, 60, thereabouts.
And just to interject here, William, we've talked about that on this show, that the states that seceded and that caused the Civil War, they had a right to peacefully secede, which they did. And the very act of going to war with them was an act of aggression that was not constitutional.
That's exactly right.
Right.
You know that the wars, we never won a Revolutionary War. We lost that war. We lost the war. 1783, the Paris Peace Treaty, they made King George III as a Prince of the United States of America Incorporated. We became a corporation of this colony we have. And they put us under a 70-year bank cycle, like bankruptcy.
Right.
So for us to continue as a colony, put us under a 70-year bank cycle, and collateral was Washington, D.C. So 70 years, add to it, and what you get, 1859. So Jesuits set up the Civil War all through that 70 years, using slavery as a trigger, and boom, it hit. And after the Civil War, which 500,000 Americans kill each other, right? So that began the next 70-year bank cycle. They had to keep us in debt. That's what wars are for. It's not for freedom, democracy, and all that. It's been established ahead of time. The three world wars were planned before 1873 by Albert Pike. The three world wars. We've had two. There's one coming.
Right.
Were planned before 1873 in paragraph form, in conceptual terms, and every decade they led to the next event. That's what I'm talking about here. This
right.
is pre-planned. So 1859 adds 70 years. What do you owe? The 13 states was collateral in 1859. So here we go, another 70 years.
1829.
Yeah.
Bring you up. Yeah.
1859. 1789, add 70, 1859.
Oh, 89. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And now add 70, you get 1929.
Right.
The Great Depression was planned in 1910.
Right.
And the Great Depression, they're also planned. We funded Hitler in 1928. Wall Street did. And 1929, 1930, they were planning a military coup of the U.S. government by 1933 using Butler, Smedley Butler of the Marine Corps. You know about that, the plot to seize the White House?
No.
Oh, yeah. No. Smedley Butler. But he blew the whistle to Congress about this plot to seize the White House. And they were going to use a 500,000 World War I veterans that were really ticked off at the government because of that bonus army situation. They withheld the bonuses during the Depression to tick them off. Then they ran them out of D.C.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
What you're talking about now. Yep.
That's how they got their support. Well,
started an uprising.
That's
right?
Exactly correct.
They all showed up around the White House.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And they used that just like they wanted to tick them off so they would provide the manpower to take over the government. The FDR was a part of this, unknown to Butler, because they were going to catch Butler in the act of organizing it and then declare martial law. I got a direct quote from FDR confirming this. March the 4th, 1939. That rascal was setting up a dictatorship in America by 1943.
And they dispersed him with force, didn't they?
Oh, they sure did.
Yeah.
You had Black Jack Pershing. You had Eisenhower, MacArthur, General Patton, or Major Patton, Major MacArthur. Oh, it was a mess. And but it didn't transpire. It kind of fizzled. They didn't get their New World Order.
Right.
In a period of time. Well, 1929, 1933, they had to extend it to 70 more years. Collateral, 70-year bank cycle.
And didn't the Federal Reserve Charter run out here recently? And I guess that would have been the end of the last 70-year cycle.
Well, no. Hold a minute. They needed collateral for another loan to 70 years. From 1929 and 70 to 1999,
yeah,
needed collateral. Well, that's where the birth certificate came from. every American citizen was pledged as collateral in the bank loan.
Right.
And then they had to give you a serial number, called Social Security number.
And so, yeah, I have heard this theory.
It's true.
I've heard these theories out here, and you know, it's a very interesting topic to talk about, no doubt about it, because you know, a lot's not long known about it, you know. So
well, actually, I've got the actual quote from Woodrow Wilson and Colonel Mandel House discussing this very thing.
Right.
So that was supposed to end in 1999. And we're supposed to have a new world order beginning of the year 2000. And 911 was set up. 911 was set up September 11th, 1966, was when the World Trade Center had its Masonic cornerstone laid. 911 was Masonic sacrifice. And it was, the cornerstone was laid for the Masons September 11th, 1966. The Pentagon Masonic dedication was September 11th, 1941. That's a tricky thing. So, by the year 2000, we're supposed to be in a new world order, and the last bank cycle, 1999. And the trigger point was supposed to be in Kosovo in June of 1999 by Wesley Clark. And that operation failed in June of 1999.
Right.
Well, we're out of collateral. And so what happened was a deal was made with China to start bringing troops in and buying property, and they call it foreign trade zones. You have 288 of them nationwide that belongs to China, and they're industrial parks that's owned by China.
Right, and I do know there has been a big land grab going on with China, and you know, you can find plenty of information about that out there, in general doing research, you know.
After all, it's collateral. It's collateral.
Yeah.
And now they're waiting. We're like 14 years overdue for a new world order. God's in control.
Right.
All right. Well, dismantle the family, patriotism, individual liberty. You know about John Warner National Defense Authorization Act. All they have to do, it was by Bush. And all they have to do is declare a national emergency. And actually goes back to Giafrida, Oliver North, and Reagan. Jack Brooks brought it up in the Iran-Contra trials. I've actually got a recording of it, where he puts Oliver North on the stand, they're on the stand, and he asks him about the discussion of when a national disaster is declared, it overrides the Constitution, suspends the Constitution.
Right.
You know, and so...
Well, we had a guy on here, I don't know if you've ever met Dan Johnson with Panda Unite, but they've been... This is a young man, he's 20 years old, he's very well researched and studied. Everybody that watched the show, he was on over the last week, as a matter of fact. He was an astounding young man, gives us hope for the next generation, but he's been out there spreading the word about the insidiousness of the NDAA, and they're helping jurisdictions pass laws that circumvent some of that. But it started with him in college, and it's been very endearing to see somebody that age, that politically involved, that well-studied. It's getting the word out about the NDAA. So it's fresh on the minds of our viewers because we had a great guest on about what happened in December of 2012. And we're about, I guess, 18, 19, 20 months away from when that was passed. And, you know, they don't pass something like that for no reason. There wouldn't be legislation passed by our Congress and signed into law by our president unless they intended to use it. Right.
Well, Tom, are we not under the declaration of emergency ruling anyway? Is that not what?
Since 1860.
Yeah, okay.
Since Lincoln, we've been under it. You know, really. And what people aren't seeing is the Euthanasia Act or euthanasia legislation that they're trying to pass in Oregon, where your children under the age of 18 can elect to kill themselves if they're disabled. They already got it in Belgium, has already done it. And in Oregon, they're working on it, been working on it since 1994. And what they're going to do is they've got it now to where it's, I keep forgetting the name, it's called Right to Life. It's I keep forgetting the title. It's about your right to kill yourself. It's about right to suicide yourself. Death with dignity. And what they're trying to do is for depopulation. So they're waiting to our biblical morality gets cut shorter, dismantle the family, individual liberty on the generation. So now we'll say, if a child wants to kill himself, it's okay. Well, not okay. But what they're going to sneak in on you, on us, is the UN International Rights of the Child. Now, Hillary Clinton tried to get that passed through in 1989 and to get it signed by America, but the legislation didn't sign it. And so they failed. The Clintons failed. And so 1990, though, the 20th Nation, I believe, ratified it. That made it an act. So now they had to reduce our family life and all this. We would accept the signing of this darn treaty.
Right.
So when it's signed.
So what was all included in that treaty, Tom, just so we know what we're talking about here?
Well, I can tell you. One second. It's quite lengthy, but I narrowed it down to what it. Okay, one second. Bear with me just a second here. Here we go. It was November the 20th, 1989, and the UN General Assembly approved the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child.
Right.
And the 20th Nation ratified it on the September 2nd, 1990. So the treaty is in force. But the United States didn't sign it back then, and it was pressure from Hillary Clinton to get it signed, but it didn't happen. So now what it does is this treaty gives further ownership of all children to the state and the United Nations. And it will undermine the authority of the parents to raise their children. And what it does, it replaces it with a panel of UN experts, and they give children the right to disobey their parents under penalty of law.
Well, and, they've been moving our schools and training kids to do this. I mean, I saw it clearly, just raising kids over the last 20 years. Absolutely. You would hear these things coming out of their mouth when they're coming home from school that somebody fed it to them, and it's very insidious that they're doing that. They've already implemented a lot of this stuff. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I tell people on the show here, Tom, if you're white, and now that we know all that we know, you're much better off to homeschool your kids. And I'm sure they're going to try and do away with that at some point.
Well,
but you're much better off to do that and maintain control over the education that they're getting.
In the meantime, until they can actually close down any idea of homeschooling, what they did to subvert the education was to come up with No Child Left Behind and Common Core.
Right.
To put a slowdown on it.
Right. And it's terrible. As when I was in school in the 60s and 70s, they taught subjects and you got school all year long. Now they just teach for that bubble test that all the kids have to take in February or March, and then they don't even teach the rest of the year.
That's right.
They're not teaching subjects anymore. They're just teaching kids to pass that test, and that's it.
Well, if they ratify that treaty, your rights as a parent will be transferred to the federal government, and they'll establish new bureaucracies to investigate and prosecute you if you violate your children's rights as defined by the convention.
Right.
And And you see in the news this past years about how children are being abused and all this. Some of it's made up, some of it's real. But to put it out there, so you'll say, yeah, we need to sign that treaty to protect our children. That's how the media is controlled.
And they always hide this stuff under different names. Like, everybody's against child abuse. You know what I mean? So they're always hiding these things under the guise of something else that would be more publicly appealing, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Now, to get us to meld into the UN, when they divide us up into Mexico, Canada, China, and the UN, when they do that, Nixon, in his bid to set up a new world order, as ordered by the Vatican, he is going to establish a dictatorship as well in 1972 and 74. It failed. But here's the point. In 1972, February the 12th, Nixon passed through Executive Order 11647. And then in 73, he passed Executive Order 11731. And to control all government agencies, he could pass 11495. Okay. They were going to assassinate Spiro Agnew and then declare martial law. Well, here's what it did. 11647, in fact, you know, your audience can look it up. It divided this United States into 10 regions, 5 states each, 1 governor, and 1 U.N. administrator per region.
Right, and I have seen those documents before.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that was to balkanize the United States, incorporated.
And that was the beginning of what we have today defined as FEMA regions, correct?
Absolutely. Right. You're right on track. Because in 1978, when it didn't happen, they rescinded it. And you know what they did? They passed it on in the 80s to North, Giafrida, Reagan, and they made it FEMA. And then you will find exactly, right down to the state, the same organization in, quote, unquote, FEMA Transition 2009.
Right, and in the event of that quote-unquote emergency, those regions are all controlled by a governor that's been picked, in each of those regions that would then answer directly to the president?
To the UN. The president has no authority.
To the UN? Okay.
Yeah, the president has no authority to make any decisions, never has. He's a president of a corporation.
Right.
Now, I found, I can just give you an idea in this International Rights of the Child. I found 11 articles specifically that take away the rights of your children and take away your rights. So there's like 11 articles I found that will sneak in on you. And, in other words, for example, in the winter of 1984, there was a globalist publication called This World. And it praised the UN Convention in the winter of 84. And it said, and I quote, by Jan Blitz, "The traditional family structure imposes upon children attitudes of restraint, deference, obedience, and shame, and breaks their will, represses their sexuality, turning them to artificial, authoritarian, sex-negating, compulsive, competitive, and manipulative human beings." Unquote, Jan Blitz.
Wow, that's a loaded. That is a loaded statement, right?
Oh, that's one of many I've got. Right. Oh man, you know. But anyway, that's very loaded, and so demolish the foundations of biblical morality, dismantle the family, patriotism, individual liberty, discard the Constitution, and the Republic which is established.
Right.
All that's been done since 1780s. Number 4 was destroy the American free enterprise system. And this plot also is confirmed by an investigation of the Canadian customs in 1923 to 25 of corruptness. Well, they found, subsequent to that investigation, they found, in fact, an agenda, a conspiracy to destroy both Canada and the United States' nations. I've got some of the evidence here.
Right.
And then number 5 was to direct our attention toward the United Nations, which will drag us or drug us into the global government for which it's established.
Yeah.
Now, those 5 basic steps I've got details for. And each one of them, of the details, it shows how this agenda... Everything is scripted out. It's almost like a reality show, like the Bundy Ranch.
Right. They worked it out in advance.
Yeah.
Right.
Almost everything. Everything is controlled. Now, they have some little funny things happen along the way, but they correct it. I mean, it's hard for people to realize how controlled this agenda really is.
Well, and wouldn't you agree, Tom, that really, especially in the last 5 or 6, 7 years, that this has accelerated at, at an amazing pace? Because America, you know, you've had tens of millions of people lose their homes. Gas prices have doubled. Food prices have gone through the roof. Utility bills have gone high. All of a sudden, we went from a country where people were doing pretty well to absolute destruction all across the middle spectrum of our society. And I don't know if you know what our channel is all about, but what we're doing here is we're having people on the air from all across America to talk, starting to have a conversation from all spectrums because they've kept us divided. You know, I'm talking about like Republicans, Democrats, you know, white, black, green, blue. They're dividing us on whether you have money or not. They're dividing us in so many different ways. And so, you know, our idea here is a message of unity that we've got to be on to this game, drop these divisions that they have, come together as red-blooded Americans and say, okay, what are we going to do together, you know, to get America back on track? Because these things you're talking about have been very insidious and very effective in destroying America. And this acceleration has happened in the last 6, 7, 8 years. People are now to the point, Tom, that they're looking around, and I don't care what kind of politics you have that you buy into, people know something's wrong, right? And it's the first time it's taken us so far down that people are waking up and saying, you know what, we know something's wrong. So what we're trying to do is get people to have that conversation, because the plots and plans that you're talking about here that have been, you know, planned out, you know, over several hundred years, you know, and much longer, probably.
Longer.
Has been very effective. And what they've done to America, especially in the last few decades, has been an amazingly well-executed plan.
Well, it goes back, the active role of this actually goes back, as documented, is 1425 A.D.
Right.
And Columbus was a member of the royal family. He was a member of the Illuminati. And he knew exactly where he was headed, and it was to set up the first introduction of another culture in the indigenous population of Indians and Mexicans in North American continent.
Right.
That was his purpose. And because America was planned as a great Atlantis, the new Atlantis, and the new Jerusalem, all the way back in the year 1492.
Right.
And to infuse the next culture would be the white folk out of Europe. Just to put it bluntly, because they were being massacred by the Vatican from 1200 A.D. to 1400 A.D., it's a form of bondage, being
right.
massacred. And that's what there was going on by the Vatican. And so that prompted folks to want to leave. And then Martin Luther, who was a Jesuit, gave them the religion, which was Protestantism. And I think God had a work here because he used this. He allowed it to happen. But they had bondage. They had a religion. Then they got courage. And then they made a move. And that brought the second culture of white folk into America. And the third culture they brought in 1600s was the black culture, but slavery. And then the next cultures has come to the American dream. The whole idea, as I have it documented, was to make the North American continent, United States, that's going to be later in the United States, as a diverse cultural nation, but to infuse all the races into one race. I have that documented.
Well, and then America became the great melting pot. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, but the problem is, once they've done that, once they've accomplished it, then they're going to start the elimination of all other races. So, in other words, quote, William G. Carr, Red Fog Over America, 1955. I quote, "The agentur of the Illuminati, after establishing the head of the Illuminati King Despot of the Universe," that'd be the Antichrist, "the agentur of the Illuminati will next proceed to eradicate racial characteristics by mixing the black, red, yellow, and white races. This experiment has already been carried out on a large scale." Here he comes again. "Dr. Brock Chisholm has advocated on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation that, quote, By mixing the races, all racial problems would disappear, unquote. I mean, literally, genetically. And then to eliminate the white race, black race, Chinese, the pure races, to kill them. This is the plan. I mean, this is documented. It's always been the plan from the very beginning. That's why they made America the diverse nation.
Well, I guess they knew if they took away the identity of all these cultures, you would take away their pride, their independence, their...
Absolutely.
Yeah, their self-governance or whatever they had going on. So,
a new Tower of Babel.
Yeah. Yep.
What it boils down to. I know maybe some of your audience might say, oh, my gosh, this guy's on drugs, but I'm not. I really am not. this throws the history books right out the window.
Right.
And what we think, you know... And see, the problem is, okay, for example, we think the way to solve this is by a military takeover of the U.S. government. And that's what Rick Joyner says openly on TV. And General Boykin is on his side. So now they're advocating, and they're Knights of Malta, by the way, you see. So
and
I could play you that right now. I could play it on, I got a mixer here and all that, where he says he prays that God would... have a military takeover of the U.S. government.
Right.
Rick Joyner. And now, wait a minute. That means he's on the side of the white hats. He's on the side of, you know, the radical Americans, they want to call it, whatever, to take over the government so we'll have a freer government. Wait a minute. He's a Knights of Malta. So he's working both sides. There's a problem.
Exactly.
There.
Exactly, exactly. And there's a lot of people that are doing that, especially across our political spectrums. You know, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, they're putting themselves out to be one thing and taking actions behind, you know, behind the backs of the American people. Just like, you know, I mean, let's be honest here, folks. It took the Republicans to pass the NDAA in December 2012. Okay? They had to be a party to that because they controlled the House of Representatives. So if you want to know if you know, all of our political leaders are involved in these types of things that are not for the good of you and I, as we the people, you just have to look at the historical actions that they've taken. You know, and it is very insidious what they did when they passed that NDAA and gave those authorizations for martial law. All of that structure is in place now because our elected political leaders did these things, right? They allowed them to happen on their watch. And now, you know what? Now we have to deal with that as the American people, right? If we want to preserve our Constitution and our country, we're going to have to fight for these things, you know?
Well, that's the thing about it. You know that there are orchestrated 26 suicides per day of our veterans.
Right, and you know what? There's no way that would be happening normally. They're doing something to do that.
Well,
and, you know, I was talking about this the other day. That's 8, 9, 10,000 of our vets every year that they're saying are committing suicide.
Absolutely.
And that's an astounding number. It's never been a number like that before in history with vets in any kind of war, coming home from even horrible conflicts like Vietnam, and they're doing something to them. Right, because they want to take them out, because these are the people that would be the core of a patriot movement to restore America.
If I may, on my website, I have a study that shows you how they're doing it.
Right. Well, I would be very fascinated to read that, Tom, because I've been watching that number for a while, and it was 22 for a while, and it's up to 26.
It's 15 for a while, then 18, then 22, then 26.
Right.
And 80% of that group haven't been to combat.
Right.
60% never been deployed.
Right.
So there's something wrong, like you said.
What is your site? Just to have it so the folks at home have it and I'll have it. What is your website, Tom?
Watchman for Jesus. WatchmanForJesus.com.
And is that WMAN? The Watchman?
Watchman. Yeah, Watchman. Yeah. Watchman for Jesus.
And is that FOR?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's all spelled out. Okay.
WatchmanForJesus.com.
Right. WatchmanForJesus.com.
Yeah.
All right, got it.
And it's part one, part two of a study I did, have been doing for quite a while, to show them how the suicides are being orchestrated.
Right. Well, I'm gonna take a look at that, and definitely, because I know there's something up with that. I'd be interested in any any plausible theories on how they're doing it, because I know there's something up with that, right?
Yeah, I can give you a idea of what how the government really operates by a quote from FDR. Because all the presidents have the same attitude as FDR does, because they're all family members anyway.
Right.
You know, people have a hard time dealing with that, but it's true. Well, you know, 6 years after the planned military coup of the U.S. government, 1939, the planned coup was 1933-34. And then 2 years before Pearl Harbor, 1939, behind closed doors, in front of three congressional committees, and one of the members named Senator Lundeen, L-U-N-D-E-E-N, was a member of one of these three committees. And after FDR had passed away in Yalta, well, there's another, that's another story, but when he died in Yalta, Senator Lundeen sent this quote to William G. Carr to put it in his book. And here's what FDR said March 4th, 1939, behind closed doors, never to be revealed to the public during that time. He said, and I quote, "I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I am putting my people," that's Illuminati, "ahead of all instruments," that's the American citizens.
Right.
"I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war, and a war only. To hell with American people as far as democracy is concerned. It does not exist, it never did, and we will never let it happen that way. I am going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible. And the last analysis, declare martial law, confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My New Deal is a failure, and I know it, but no one else will tell me that I must discontinue my present activities and program," unquote. That's what he said.
Right.
Now, I thought that was kind of crazy. So I did some more researching, and I found out in 1841, Clinton Roosevelt, an ancestral cousin, had published in America a document called The Science of Government, Founded on Natural Laws. And I found out that through Manzini and the Freemasons' connection, that this document was passed on to Karl Marx, and Karl
right.
Marx plagiarized it. And that became the Communist Manifesto 7 years later.
Right.
And that was a part of Adam Weishaupt's work. So Clinton Roosevelt plagiarized Adam Weishaupt's work May the 1st, 1776. And that continuity, that plan, goes to 1945, 1841 to 1945. Plans were already set up.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a short little break here and just step away and come back. And, you know, normally we would have gone into Q&A now, but I'm so fascinated with what you're talking about and telling us, Tom. I think we just got to continue on with what we're doing when we come back after the break. Just fascinating to follow this trail and kind of untangle and go through, you know, some of these insidious things that have, you know, that help explain how we got to where we are today. So anyway, let's do that. This is Jeffrey Sisk, and you're watching the Jeffrey Sisk Show. It's 10:24 p.m. here on the East Coast in Central Florida, and we're on talking with Tom Gimbel, and we will be back after a short break. All right, and you're muted to air. Nobody can hear you, okay? And we'll take here 3 or 4 or 5 minutes and then come back on.
Okay.
Give you a minute to walk around, take a break.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Gives you a chance to hear me too.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and I'm gonna move because of daughter and sick and all that stuff tonight. We've just had this dog problem going on, so I'm moving where I'm broadcasting from right quick because it's just not working.
I heard you.